You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SF News Community Radio Station, broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.
Welcome to Cangria, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And it's been a week. I'm going to start off with some gay news. Well, the whole show is going to be gay news, broadly speaking. But I'm going to start off, do you recall, you may not have been there.
Okay.
Do you recall the gay bar Rumors in Halifax?
I think I've heard stories of it. Like there's, I mean, as huge a country as Canada is, and as many cities as there are in Canada, there are really not that many gay bars. Like I even remember when I lived in Hamilton, I knew, even though I'd never been to, it was called the Robin's Egg. I think it was in London, Ontario. I'd never been there, but I'd heard all about it. Like you hear about places in other cities. I mean, I heard about the Lookout long before I came to Ottawa. So yeah, I've heard of Rumors.
So Rumors was a bar that opened up in 1982. It ran until 1995, twice in Halifax. It was run by the Gay and Lesbian Association of Nova Scotia. So it was iconic. It was very much the go-to bar for anyone in the Halifax Greater region. And really, it played a huge part in the area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a new bar has opened up in Halifax, and they've named themselves Rumors in homage to this particular venue. Now, this is because in Halifax, all the gay bars closed. Every one of them.
Oh.
So our listeners may know of Reflections Cabaret, the Men's Molly's Bar, Indulge, I think was the last one that did close in Halifax.
Okay.
Essentially leaving the community without a specifically queer bar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure plenty of bars are very happy to take the money off a homosexual.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there is a bar that might have the odd drag night versus a gay bar.
Yeah,
what I mean? It really makes a big difference.
Well, even then, there's a difference between a gay bar and like an anything goes / queer bar.
Because
like here in town, Swizzles is an anything goes bar.
Yeah.
It's not really a gay bar, but it is. It's an anything goes bar. And then actually, do we even have a gay bar that's just a gay bar? Because even the Lookout,
surely.
No. I mean, like, because you go to Montreal, there are bars that are just gay men. Well, and bisexual men. But yeah, just gay men. And then you have lesbian bars. And then you'll have anything goes bars. And then you'll have, like, you have different bars. Like, when you get to a bigger city, you tend to have more specialized, you know, twink bars, bear bars, leather bars, things like that. But there are different kinds of bars for sure. And I did not know that Rumors was owned and operated by this association, because generally speaking, any bar, let alone gay bars, are private small businesses that are owned and operated by someone who just wants to open a space, or they think that they can, you know, make a good living out of running a bar. Which is fundamentally, that is the motivation for a lot of, or at least it's one of the motivations for owning any kind of establishment like that. But the idea that it was owned by an organization is very different and interesting and kind of worthy of, I mean, that's newsworthy on its own. And the fact that COVID shut down a lot of small business in Canada. So the idea of how do you get a small business off the ground in the post-COVID years.
This new one is being run. It's being it was launched by Gerald McEwen and his husband Jose Cho. They've opened up this new bar in honor of this one. I believe either them or folks they work with met 30 odd years ago at this bar.
Okay,
but you're right. I mean, it was really at the time, and our Halifax listeners, I'm sure, are unlocking that memory as we talk about it.
Okay,
but it really was a place that was safe for folks to go to. I mean, we're talking about the 80s here, 82. You know, you could be fired from your job, you know, you could have your children taken away. It was all kinds of, it was a horrific state of affairs at the time. So to have a safe space really means a lot. And, you know, if you're going to bring a queer venue back to the city, that name recognition in the community and the impact it had, incredible. Yeah. You know, I was walking down Spark Street in Ottawa just a couple of days ago. We walked, oh my God, I did 13,000 steps, so much walking.
Okay.
just as a man that barely does any steps, that was a lot of steps.
Okay.
But yeah, we walked past, and I remember the Edge. Did you ever go to the Edge?
I went twice.
You were taken to the Edge twice, is what you're telling me.
Yeah. Once I was with you. I don't know if you remember that.
I took you to the Edge.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, you heard it here first.
You don't remember that night, do you?
No, well, clearly not. no, the Edge is the name of wasn't the name of a gay bar in Ottawa. Well, very excited to see new bars opening. Really, kind of, and the fact that the community in Halifax is now being served. This is great news. I thought we'd start off with a nice...
Although there is a thing that I noticed happening a few years ago where there's a trend towards, I mean, that phenomenon of places that are not bars, but they're like, during the day, they're restaurants, and then in the evenings, they're finger foods only. It's finger foods and cocktails. The idea being trying to open bars that are not 100% oriented around alcohol because there's a lot of people who are dry. So you can go to these spaces and it is set up like a restaurant, but unlike a restaurant, there's nothing necessarily weird or taboo of getting up and going to another table and saying hi, because it's all benches and booths.
All right. Well, I want to move on to Newfoundland, I believe.
Newfoundland. Okay.
Yeah. We're going to talk about St. John's, and I believe it's the St. John's in Newfoundland that we are referring to here.
St. John apostrophe S or St. John no apostrophe S?
With apostrophe.
Okay.
Yeah. There is an apostrophe.
Okay.
It is owned by the John.
Okay.
That's the one that we're talking about. Yeah, so St. John's, which I believe is the Newfoundland one, their Pride event is coming up on the 21st of July. I'm sure some of our listeners are like, oh my God, is this more Pride stuff? Well, yeah, you know, the Americans decided that Pride only and always and just happens in June. It's June and only June, nicely packaged. There we go. But in Canada, from coast to coast to coast, different towns and communities had their Pride events typically based on things that happened that were meaningful to that community.
Yeah.
Oh, the best example I can pull off the top of my head, Ottawa is typically in late August. Because I want to say that the We Demand protest was around that time in August. And it's a commemoration of this protest march up on Parliament. And the demands, there's a beautiful mural in downtown Ottawa where you can see those demands outlined on the side of a wall. And that's why, you know, that's why it's there. Then you've got other places like Banff in BC, where they have it much, much earlier because there's still snow and it's all very thematic and it's, you know, very on brand for Banff. Ooh,
I have no interest in Banff because I'm not a skier, but going to Banff Pride to go to like a snow pride in Banff.
That would be fun. That would be very fun. Canadian. That'd be very Canadian.
Yeah, exactly. I would be a snowshoer. I mean, I've got a, I don't have a skier's build. I've got a snowshoer's build.
That's fair. I've got a snowball build. All right. So St. John's, Newfoundland.
Right.
There has been a kerfuffle in terms of how this has been reported.
Right.
To the point that I believe that I can never find my saved things. Oh, there we go. I found them. The St. John's Pride issued a statement on this to clarify, because the coverage of it was very unclear. It was initially implied that a corporate sponsor of Pride, and particularly a big event they have called Pride on the Pier, a local construction company called Harvey's.
Harvey's, yeah.
Exactly, yeah. They said Harvey's Home and Heating said in a statement that they will not be sponsoring Pride on the Pier event this year. And it is because one of their sister Harvey companies was told that they claim one of their sister companies was told that they cannot participate. And they've told the media that because they cannot fully participate in Pride, they will no longer be sponsoring this particular event. But the devil really is in the details on this particular story. So as you may recall, Pride St. John has decided that their Grand Marshal this year is going to be Palestinian Action YYT. Okay. It's an advocacy group advocating against, obviously, the ongoing violence in the Middle East, specifically against Palestinian folks. And as a condition of their participation in Pride, they've issued a list of corporations that are on the boycott, divestment, and sanctions list. That includes Pepsi. Okay, so just it's a string that we need to follow here, guys. So Pepsi is on the divestment list because of what what they do in Israel, and as a result, YYT doesn't want Pepsi as part of them being the Grand Marshal at Pride in St. John's. So Pride St. John's said, that's fine. No Pepsi logos in respect for this organization when it's Marshal. Well, now we get our way back to that company I mentioned earlier about Harvey's own people. Their sister company that I mentioned earlier that would not be able to fully participate is a Pepsi bottling company. They bottle Pepsi. Yeah. And as the Pepsi logo is applied, the Pepsi bottling company isn't allowed to put Pepsi in.
I mean, really, they're probably just a bottling company
that happens to have a big claim to Pepsi.
Yeah.
So YYT, the Grand Marshal don't want a bunch of them. And this this local company, Harvey's Bottling Company, they have a sibling company, Harvey's Bottling Company, and they bought Pepsi. And therefore, they're like, look, this is not going to work out for us. We can't be. But the real kicker here is that they are actually, directly speaking, a Pride sponsor. Okay. And Pride on the Pier isn't actually, technically speaking, a Pride event. It has been independently run, and it's primarily owned event.
They have cancelled.
So St. John's Pride issued a statement. They said, while Harvey's has decided to cancel their Pride on the Pier event, there have been no other impacts on the Pride Festival lineup. They appreciate the continued support from everyone. But they want to clarify a couple of key points here. Pride on the Pier never was a Pride St. John's event.
Right.
It was never one of theirs. It was independently organized. However, just like every other Pride organization in the country, if you're hosting an event and it's, you know, some of these events get quite big, they're like, yeah, we'll promote it. We'll put some media out. We let people know in our community that this event is on. So they did promote it. The decision to cancel was made only by Harvey's Home and Heating. Harvey's Home and Heating is not on the divestment and boycott list, but rather it's Pepsi, and as I mentioned earlier, bottling company that does it. So really the issue is they're not allowed to display the Pepsi logo as part of Pride, and as a result they feel they're not allowed to actively participate in Pride. Now the way it is implied by coverage was
that they were told not to come or something.
They were told not to come. They've been forced to pull out as a sponsor. This event is falling apart. And Pride St. John has said, look, no. This isn't even our event. It's their event. We love it. Love that they're doing this. But this was all them decisions. We've talked about this many times, Sebastian, where pride organizations and the queer community as a whole does not have a huge lot. Realistically speaking, don't have that much power.
No.
Talking about making any kind of real change.
Except yeah.
Not a huge amount of power. But the power that the queer community does have is who's allowed to come and join our party. Who's allowed to celebrate? Whose logo is going to be in front of our community? That's pretty much the only power they have.
Yes.
And they've decided we don't want Pepsi. It's a
well, mess. You know, this is a frequent thing for me that I really don't like the idea of any corporation and to a degree, political groups. And by political groups, I mean like capital P political groups, like, you know, the Liberal Party of Canada or the NDP Party of Canada, like things like that. And yes, and I am including the left-leaning parties. And it's not just about the Conservative Party, it's the political parties in general. But something I don't bring up very often is that I wish local small business would get more involved in Pride. I don't like the idea of every single Pride parade in Canada having a TD float, but I would love to see, you know, Helen's Sandwich House. Mm-hmm. I would love to see them at Pride because it's more local, it's more tangible, it lets the community know who doesn't participate in the politics, in the community, in providing a safe space and making sure that, you know, announcing, you know, Steve's plumbing agency, when they come into your house to unclog your sink, they are not going to make comments about your decor because there's way too much Judy Garland for this man to be a heterosexual. Like, they're just going to be like, I'm just here to snake your pipes.
Yeah. Yeah. And in a non-euphemistic
in
way.
In a non-wink wink way.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It not only that, but just small business tends to be better at hiring LGBTQ folks, giving them better opportunities. There is the sort of not even a glass ceiling. It's just sort of like more like a short ceiling. Like you can only go up so much. So, you know, the idea of getting into some kind of, you know, $150,000 a year job in small business, unless you're the owner, you're not going to get there. But you can have a pretty good life and you can get a job and you can have a good life with a supportive boss and you don't have to go through HR. You just sit down and you say, like, you know, Frank, you got to treat the new guy better. And then he goes, yeah, okay, I'll do better. And then there you go. That's it. And I love that. And I really do wish small business was more involved in Pride. So the idea that this institution, because if they have multiple companies in St. John's with the Harvey name on it, clearly this is a local institution of some kind. It's some local family or group of companies owned by just some serial entrepreneur or something. I would love to see them involved in Pride. I would love to see them involved at Pride and not TD. So, I mean, it is kind of a bummer that they got these crossed wires where they felt like they weren't invited. And I really do wish there was a little bit more push towards making sure that small local business felt more welcome. And not only that, but because, and this is so petty, and I know it's petty, but I don't care. The food at Pride is garbage. And I would love to see more food trucks. And food trucks are always small local business. Like, you know, I want to get a good jicama salad and then go next door for like a Korean weird experimental hot dog on a stick. Like, that's what I want at Pride, you know?
Yeah.
I don't want to go to McDonald's and get a salad because it's all that's available in the neighborhood. Like, it's not like, I really do wish more small local businesses felt encouraged to participate in Pride, for sure.
Well, it is worth saying that this event has typically been a fundraiser for the St. John-based organization Quadrangle. I believe that what they're going to do is they're actually saying, look, you know, even though the event was cancelled, they're still paying the performers, the Harvey Home Heating Group, they're still paying the performers.
That's nice.
I believe they're still going to make a donation to an LGBTQ charity in the area as a gesture of goodwill and of their ongoing support. They also are hopeful to be able to have a conversation next year with Pride to see what happens. You know, but at the end of the day, you know, there is the assumption, correct or not, that every Pride event has to be organized by the Pride committee. Oh. And it's very often, it's very few of them are actually organized by the Central Pride Committee. And a lot of it is just, you know, local bars doing their own thing, or the local sports group, or the local home heating company doing a, you know, an event.
Generally speaking, but from city to city, it's the same things. The Pride, the street fair, one gala, and maybe one nightclub event. Like, mm-hmm. that's four events usually. Here in Ottawa, there's a family picnic. And, like, we're up to, I think there's, like, six events in Ottawa that are, including the flag raising. Like, really, really slim.
The flag raising is organized by the municipality, I believe.
Oh.
Pride
just shows up. There you go.
Yeah, the city organizes that. I mean, they're far more efficient. All right, we're going to jump to our first track. This is by the incredible Métis and Two-Spirit artist Liv Wade. This is Stay With Me, and we will be back just after. Welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I am Sebastian.
Do you know what Pride sounds like, Sebastian? That's a question that could lead to a very, very interesting answers.
Oh my. These days it just sounds like some 20-year-old going, yes,
exactly. But no, that's not what I'm okay. Let me be more specific.
Okay.
Do you know what the Pride flag sounds like?
Did somebody run the colors of the rainbow flag through like a spectrometer or something?
That is Exactly it. You've nailed it. So in Milano Pride,
okay,
they have worked to release a version of the flag. We're talking about the initial, like the original, not the new Progress flag, the 1978 Gilbert Baker rainbow flags.
The 6-color or the 8-color version?
The 78 one, whichever one that one is, the Roy G. Biv one.
Okay, it's 6-color, yeah, okay.
Exactly. So what they had is they teamed up with quantum biophysicist from Bologna in Italy, Danielle Gula, who helped to turn this flag, physical object, into a song. We're going to play the song in a second, but I'm going to tell you how they got there.
Okay.
So they it was a sequence of various steps that they did. So obviously, you know, you can't hear a flag unless you're talking about just the fluttering of it. But what they did is they got the acoustic elements from each of the flag's color. They used the camera with a multispectral array.
Okay.
And then they raised the pitch from this multispectral array camera, that photo that they took, and they raised the pitch so it could actually be heard. And then they worked with a DJ from Human Touch Music to turn these musical color frequencies, the noise from the pitch that they got from this photo, into an actual melody. So it's a bit of a combination of electronic meets classical. The sound is coming from the pitch created by the photo, like the multispectral array photo of this flag.
Okay.
So we're going to play it now. This is the Sound of Pride. Milano Pride put this together. If you look up Milano Pride on Spotify, you will find it, and it is the Sound of Pride. And we'll be back. It's about 2 minutes long. We'll give you the full flag sound experience. At the end of this, everyone is going to know exactly what a rainbow flag looks like and sounds like, with the poetic license of adding a melody, of course. So we'll be back just after this. I mean, it's a vibe. Like, it really is. I thought it was quite incredible. Really, they started off with, how do you make your flag accessible to the blind?